The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The bodybuilding world will never be the same.
Get ready for MB Radio with your host, Sean Ray. We'll take you inside the world of health and fitness with a focus on bodybuilding. Now, here's your host, Sean Ray.
All right, welcome everybody back to another episode of MD Radio. It's Monday, July the 21st, and you know what that means? One more week until the USA National Championships. I should say less than a week, as a matter of fact. It's going down this weekend on Friday and Saturday right there in hot Vegas. And I mean hot, upwards of 105, 115 degrees in some parts. This Friday and Saturday, of course, promoter John Lindsay will be pulling out all the stops trying to contain what is expected to be the largest USA Championships in the history of the USA Championships. North of 800 to 900 competitors should be parading across that stage, which means our start time for the finals is going to be 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That's right. 1 hour from now, in another 4 days, it's going to be going down out there in Las Vegas, and they've got a full lineup, which includes women's bodybuilding, men's physique, bikini, figure, men's bodybuilding, the whole nine yards, taking place in MD's very own. Bob Chicarillo will be rocking the microphone, bringing all the action to us. And for the record, while it may sound like a very long evening, they typically do a pretty good job of getting people out of that place in time to grab a bite to eat at their favorite watering hole out there in Las Vegas. I know, I believe, was sitting in Morton Steakhouse at 10 o'clock last year. So it's very easy and convenient since they have the earlier start time to get out of there in time to grab a bite to eat. And, by the way, Vegas doesn't sleep. So if you can't find somewhere to eat out in Las Vegas, forget about it. I believe there's going to be upwards of 1,000 pro cards being handed out. No, I'm just kidding. But there are a lot of pro cards being handed out over this USA weekend. And just to kind of recap, there's been a lot of other USA championships going that have been passing through there. I recall this memory of the USA winners would be dating back to J.J. Marsh. I remember when I first started bodybuilding in 1983, 84, coming out of high school. I believe J.J. Marsh was the first name I heard as a USA winner. I believe that was in 1986 or 87. And then we had guys like Aaron Baker come there. I think the USA's might have been the first time I heard David Durst, but I do know along the way, my former training partner, Dennis Newman, came through as a USA champion winner. And another Sean Ray protege, Richard Jones, won the USA championship, I believe, in 2003. Of course, big Dennis Chain and Idris Wardell. This is all off the top of my head. I'm just visualizing these guys winning on that stage. Of course, Muscular Development's very own Steve Kuklo, I believe, was the USA champion because Evan was a national champion. And, of course, the infamous Craig Titus, a former USA champion, along with Phil Herndon from a year prior to that. A very prestigious championship to be had, indeed. Mark Alvisi along the way. And now it seems the first and second place at the pro card. So it's very hard to remember who's won in recent years. We know Justin Compton did not win the overall at the national championships, but a pro card there at the USA championships. It's going to be some, I don't know, it's kind of a mixed bag of tricks coming through these doors. I know Nick Trigg is one of the guys that we're looking for, but it's not a lot of depth. A lot of bodies, not a lot of depth. We're hoping for a crown jewel, that guy that nobody's really heard of or ever seen that just pops out and you go, what the hell is this? And runs away with the show. He's just been training like Mr. T in a dungeon somewhere, coming to shock whoever thinks they're a favorite for this show, because there's a lot of sleepers that have very good genetic background and tools to go in here and win this thing, but yet very few guys coming out of the woodwork. So we're looking for that next big thing, and it may just happen this weekend on a lot of different levels. men's physique, you have a lot of bodies and no favorites. Because these guys, it's a revolving door of looks as to who wins what and when and where. But it's good for the sport, these different types of guys winning USA championships. They do a pretty good job overall. John Lindsay certainly is the benefactor, you know, hanging in there, promoting this show over the years, even when we thought for a few seconds that something was going to happen with regards to that show. It has this resurgence with the bikini and the men's physique, so that's a good thing. USA championships aside, we've been on the constant countdown for the upcoming Joe Weider 50th anniversary. Mr. Olympia, I just got a message from 8-time Mr. Olympia, Lee Haney, and spoke to Ronnie Coleman briefly last week, who's doing very well. He's still on the grind, man. We saw this video on the Muscular Development Forums where Ronnie was going into surgery, and inevitably, Ronnie was going to have some complications from the style of training that he had. I mean, nobody does what Ronnie did and walks away scot-free. He's paying the price. He's got some hip problems, some knee problems, some back issues, a few neck issues. Ronnie was in the trenches, man, taking blows to the head, the whole nine yards, 800-pound squats, million-pound deadlifts. I mean, the guy was a stud, but he's paying the price. The body got him, you know, to the top of the mountain here, but it doesn't stay that long when you train that way. And he's adjusting to that and still keeping up a hectic travel schedule, promoting his Ronnie Coleman signature series. The Tampa Pro is coming up as well. That's going to be going down on August 9th. Right there, Tampa Bay, Tim Gardner, the promoter, has been doing this for many years now and has recognized Lifetime Achievement Awards and given them to, I remember, Chris Dickerson and Rich Kasperi and the great Lee Labrada were recipients of those Lifetime Achievement Awards. And Tim Gardner is still doing big things down there in South Florida. I expect nothing less at this year's show. I believe women's bodybuilding returns out there as well. A lot of things going on for Tim Gardner. Make sure you go to the Muscular Development website and check it out. We're going to have all the contest coverage on that one. We are just now coming off what I believe was the NPC Teen Collegiate and Masters extravaganza put on by Gary Udit, where only about a million or so athletes came through there. And if I'm not mistaken, I could have sworn I saw or heard that an 80-year-old man walked off with his IFBB Pro card. And Gary is bringing back Masters Pro event the last weekend in August right there in Pittsburgh, PA, very quietly bringing that back. I tried to get him on the radio show today, but coming off of this collegiate championships and master championships, I'm sure he's still trying to get his feet back under him. But we'll get him on the show in a short period of time to talk about the details of what's going on with the return of the Masters Championship, and namely, where does an 80-year-old go with an IFBB Pro card? He would be the oldest pro ever to step on a pro stage should he do that right there at the Masters Championships that Gary is putting on. I've been browsing through the No Bull website for a while, just checking out what everybody's doing. Of course, you don't want to miss John De La Rosa training. Yes, with Marco Rivera, 10 weeks out from the Olympia. Adina Zanoli's got the thread up there. For all the NPC news on the USA Championships, you can find it right there as a sticky on the No Bull section of the Muscular Development Online website as well. August 2nd, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring this up, but the Golden State Championships is taking place right there in Sacramento. Hani Rombaut is putting that show on out there. And as I continue to browse through, I see there's a comparison thread going on, the debate of four-time Mr. Olympia, three-time Arnold Classic champion Jay Cutler. What was the best version of Jay Cutler? Was it 2001 when he came up short of victory, losing out to Ronnie Coleman and getting a first runner-up? And then failing the diuretic test, and then having the test results thrown out, and still getting second place. A lot of people thought Jay Cutler won that show, and it was the best he ever looked in 2001. Or was it the return to form in 2009 after losing the title on stage in head-to-head competition against Dexter the Blade Jackson in 2008? Jay came back in 2009 and snatched the title right back. It was not long for Dexter Jackson's possession to hold on to Mr. Olympia title, and Dexter joined the likes of Chris Dickerson and Samir Banu as a one-off Mr. Olympia winners. So Jay took back what was rightfully his from Dexter Jackson. It didn't stand on his mantle for very long. And there's some other good stuff in here. I mean, they're picking apart Phil Heath. They're talking about what they like and what they don't like about Phil Heath. Listen, it doesn't matter what you don't like about Phil Heath. The one thing that we can all agree on is right now, arguably, he's a deserving reigning three-time Mr. Olympia champion, because last year nobody challenged for that title. The great Kai Greene came in considerably off at prejudging, and I had him in third place. He climbed back to grab his second consecutive first runner-up behind Phil, but Phil, for all intents and purposes, was not as hard as he was the year before, but still put together in such a way that slightly off for Phil is superior than Kai Greene being 15% off. Kai cannot give away 5% to Phil Heath. He gives away 5% to Phil Heath. He loses because of Phil's genetic gifts. And while we can say we saw a harder version of Phil Heath maybe the year before, the version he put up on stage was standing by itself, and the battle raged on for second place. And Kai Greene, even though he had second after finals, the majority of the fans of Kai Greene was in desperate water, and very deep at that, in almost a losing effort to Dennis Wolf, who ultimately wound up in third place. Kai's going to have to bring everything in the kitchen sink to take that title back and hang on to it from Phil Heath. So we're looking for disaster for Phil Heath, says the Kai Greene camp, and George Bear says he'll deliver. Not a show you want to miss this year. I'm sorry. It's just not. Well, I'm cruising through the website again. Rami, the big question mark, you know, two-time winner of the New York Pro Championships. Not a convincing heir apparent yet. A work in progress? Yes. Coming off an eighth place a year ago at the Mr. Olympia, I had him in sixth. And certainly he can make the top six, but somebody's got to come out of that top six Olympia lineup, and it's going to have to come in the form of a Dexter Jackson or Sean Roden. And I don't see that happening. I don't see Sean Roden falling out of the top six. But Sean is in a dogfight with Dexter, I believe, for that top five spot. Both of those guys are worthy of top five, maybe even top four recognition. Big Rami can sneak his way in there and put Branch Warren on the bench and in timeout. Branch is coming off of ninth place a year ago. People thought that might have been a little generous for Big Branch. It's been a while since Branch, who was formerly a first runner-up only a couple short years ago, I think it was 2010, he's fighting to get back into qualifying for the Mr. Olympia, which he did at the Europa in Dallas, but can he remain in the top 10? And if he doesn't, does that end, is that the end of an era for Branch Warren? Boy, going into 40 years old, I don't know if there's any coming back for Branch if he can't make the top 10 of the Mr. Olympia lineup. So where does that all the other... I'm having a monologue by myself today, if you didn't notice. And Bump Chick, he was emceeing that shot out there. He's still traveling, trying to catch his breath because he's on his way to the USA's. So I'm talking to myself, and I'm sharing the information with you guys, what's coming down the pipe. Robin Chang is putting on this show along with Weider AMI. It's supposed to be one of the more memorable competitions in history. And that right there in and of itself says they're going to be pulling out some stops. So you don't want to miss it. Get your tickets early. Visit the Mr. Olympia website. The expo is supposed to be off the chain, as Dexter Jackson would say, with a lot of invitees coming to hang out at the expo and show their wares. As we are moving forward in the month of August, following the Pro Bodybuilding Week Championships in Tampa Bay on August the 9th, the following weekend, immediately after that, 7 days later, the Sean Ray Classic for the third year takes place right there in Towson, Maryland. Towson is a very small, unknown city right next to Baltimore, but the university itself, second to none. Performing Arts Theater is very, very nicely done. The host hotel, the Sheraton North in Towson, is across the street from a mall, which is a very nice equipped mall with the TGI Fridays and the Cheesecake Factory, everything that a the bodybuilder would want to have or eat after a show is right there at their disposal. But more importantly, it's walking distance to the event across from a Whole Foods grocery store. So we've got big things brewing out there. 3 short weeks. Get your entries in. Visit www.seanrayclassic.com to be a part of that. And then after August the 16th, of course, all eyes will turn back to Pittsburgh, where Gary Udit's bringing the North Americas and the Master Pro Championships the last weekend of August. I believe that's going to come down on Labor Day weekend. August the 30th, that's going to be going down, and I imagine it's a two-day show, so I got to say the 29th and 30th. We'll get to talk about that. And then it looks like things will shut down, and we will prepare for the 50th anniversary of the Joe Weider Mr. Olympia. That's going to be the week of the 18th of September when we start. We'll have the press conference right there at the Orleans Arena. Then we'll move in to meet the Olympians that night. And on Friday, the pre-judging will kick it off following a day of expo at the Convention Center. For those of you that have never been, the Las Vegas Convention Center sits over off of Paradise, just north on the north end of the Strip behind the Wynn Hotel. Right there in that parking lot, you got the Renaissance Hotel, you got the Marriott Residence across the street, and then you have the Wynn, which sits off of the Strip. Where the Mr. Olympia Arena is located is at the Orleans, which is on the south end of the Strip, on the same street, Tropicana, that the New York is on, and Excalibur, except you head out west towards the mountains. You'll find the Orleans Arena Hotel pop up by itself. That's where the Meet the Olympians takes place on Thursday afternoon, and that's all, or Thursday night, as well as the press conference Thursday afternoon. And we'll reconvene there the following day on Friday for the men's prejudging in the evening. I believe it starts at 7. We have the prejudging, and then Saturday the final will take place there. And of course, all weekend long, you have the expo. One thing that's going on that's a new addition to that weekend is going to be the Powerhouse Challenge. So that's a big thing that you don't want to miss. I'm trying to read a text message at the same time I'm telling you guys about this Powerhouse Challenge. It's a huge deal. Will Davish and Crystal and the whole Powerhouse FX family have put on this new challenge offering $10,000 in prizes. There's going to be 9 events, obstacle course format. You can register your spot early. It's going to be a $50 entry. That's it. And the entry's limited, but $50 to win $10,000 in prizes on a 9-event obstacle course format is huge. They're going to have these events. It's called the Prowler Rope Pool. It's 20 yards to the middle. You got the back pedal, 20 yards to the far end. The thrusters at the far end, 20-yard sprint, box jumps, suicide sprints, jump rope with a bottle rope, and the 40-yard dash. Now, we're going to have someone call in representing Powerhouse Gym to give us a little bit more details on how that thing's going to play out, how people get paid, and how you can become a champion. Powerhouse Gym in full effect with regards to giving opportunity for everybody out there. So check that out. That's going to be going down in the convention hall of the Las Vegas Convention Center. I'm waiting right now for Bulletproof to call in to MD Radio. He said he's going to be calling in today. Bulletproof is the trainer, the guru to Kai Greene, and I'm just waiting for him to chime in. So when he calls in, he'll open his mouth and shut things down from a trainer's perspective. George has been one of the luckier guys, man. He's latched on kind of like some of these other trainers to guys that, find a talent and are able to nurture that relationship and stay with these guys and see it through. He was there with Branch Warren for quite a while. I think somewhere along the way, Branch wanted to change, and Branch kind of lost his way, and I think those two kind of teamed back up again. George worked with Kai, lost Kai, got back with Kai, and those two seem to be very happy and very familiar with each other. So I'm curious when George calls in what he has to talk about. For those that were sleeping under a rock, Evan Sinopani, the All-American, signed with Prime Nutrition. Curious into the back end on how that whole thing worked. I sent out a shout-out to Evan Sinopani to join us one day, come into MB Radio to tell us how that whole thing has transpired. Because for many years, I believe Evan was one of those animal guys, Universal, and was in a big ad campaign with those guys. So to make a change at this juncture of his career, I'd like to hear from the horse's mouth how that came about and what it all means. Evan's a guy that I believe is qualified for the Mr. Olympia. And if I believe it's one of those guys that's not competing. As a matter of fact, I don't think Evan is qualified. I take it back. I don't think Evan's qualified for the Mr. Olympia, but I don't think he's trying to qualify either. He really is making a marathon out of his pro career by pacing himself, which means he'd be probably resurfacing at the top of the year when we visit the Arnold Classic in Columbus, Ohio for the 27th year. I know it well because the Arnold Classic started back in 1989. And Rich Kaspari was the first ever champion of that show, and I've never missed one. And another guy who hasn't missed a whole lot of anything, let's bring him on. I believe George Ferrer is now available to come on to MB Radio. Bulletproof, welcome back, MB Radio. Talk to us. Don't you hate that? All right, we'll try this again. Ladies and gentlemen, calling all the way from Rochester, New York, former IFBB pro bodybuilder, Bulletproof George Ferrer, the trainer to the stars. George, if you don't answer to that intro, then let's call back another Monday. Are you there?
What's up, baby?
I knew if I slowed it down and I did it right that you would open your mic. What's happening?
What's going on, brother? Nothing, man. I'm just, running around after a really long weekend. An amazing job, Gary Unit did. Well over 1,000 people in entry, and I'm very happy I got the men's overall winner and the women overall winner in bodybuilding, so it kind of made my whole weekend worth it, you know?
Yeah, well, you're always smiling when you got a winner in the winner's circle, but with that being said, with that many bodies, I mean, how frustrating is it as a fan to have to sit and wait for their athlete to come on stage, or was that a pretty well-oiled machine? Did it move to the pace that a fan would expect?
They actually, they did an amazing job, you know, considering what's going on with all, you know, the bodies that there were around there. I mean, they did a really, really good job, and they moved it, well, as fast as they can. What they did, they only make the top five poles at the end of the night. So they worked it out pretty good, but the problem is, but they ran into, they had to start the prejudging fairly a little earlier and end it a little late. And the show kind of like probably, I think they took about an hour break and went right back to the show. So, but they did a good job, man, considering, you know, the amount of people they have there.
Well, when you're training for a show like that and then you're trying to watch it, I mean, you're just as much of a fan of the sport as I am. I mean, granted, it is a business, and you're there for a reason, and that's to get people in the winner's circle. But at some point in time, you got to step back and watch a little bit of the show in kind of a nostalgic fashion. At your age and where you're at now, is that something that when you see one of those physiques that captures your eye, or you hear that music that someone's posing to from back in the day when you used to compete against your rivals, or you might hear a song that you posed to or one that you would like, I mean, do you stop and pause and go, I used to do that and take in how much work it takes to get on that stage? I mean, do you miss it?
You know, I mean, of course we have the love for the game, you know what I mean? Do I miss it? I don't know. You know, Sean, I'm in a place, I'm very content on my life, focusing on my family right now and my athlete, obviously. And honestly, with the stuff I had going on inside me, I'm just very happy, man, that I could live through my climb. So their win become my win, you know what I'm saying?
Well, let's get to the meat and potatoes, man. You got the Predator in your camp, and if any one person has the weight and expectation on their shoulders of the sport of bodybuilding, it has got to be your boy, Kai Greene. I mean, if any people that want Phil Heath to want greatness and win his fourth Mr. Olympia, we know the tide after a couple titles, it starts to swing against you. I've been reading some very negative things about the champ, the perception of him, his cockiness and being arrogant. I mean, listen, the more you win, the more confident you become, and I'm sure a lot of people might interpret that as cockiness, but what is that doing to your client? What is that doing to Kai Greene? Is Kai Greene Rocky going after Sylvester Stallone? Is Mr. T going after Rocky right now?
That's exactly what Kai is doing. You know, Kai, if feeds on this stuff. He loves it. As a matter of fact, we all see how humble Kai came through, because that's the real him. And, you know, unfortunately, that's not the same way we can say about the champ. I mean, the thing is, people don't know, Phil is an amazing guy, really good guy, but it came across a little different. But Kai really, like, really feeding on this, man. He's really hungry. And like you mentioned, Sean, earlier, you know, on Friday we were a little behind. That's why we couldn't really, like, make that boom. But then everybody saw, you know, what we did in Arnold, you know, Spain, where Kai just shining, just blew everybody, literally, you know, and nobody have any denial to that, because we were all watching and we saw Kai just, like, looking amazing. But like I said before, an article was a little bit too late, because we needed to do that on Friday at the Olympia, not a week later. And I, like I said, if I was one of the judges, I would do the same thing, because I can't take the champ a week later and put him in second place. But, you know, as a formula-wise, I think we just got the pan on it, man, right now, because I did it there, and we went to Prague a week later. We did it again, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is all what we've been missing, and it's really, it's a no-brainer. I'm telling you right now, I have, for the first time, such a confidence that Kai Greene is going to walk out there and look at his best. And you know what? And if somebody comes looking better than him, I'll be the first one to shake their hand. But I doubt it very much. As a matter of fact, I have a feeling that few people are going to retire after that show because of the way Kai's going to look.
Well, let me be frank. Okay, so the history of the Mr. Olympia, the last time a Mr. Olympia champion was dethroned was in 2008. We are in 2014 right now, so that was over 6 years ago that Jay Cutler lost on stage to Dexter Jackson. Prior to that, we had to go all the way back to 1984 when it took the title from Samir Banu. How much are you willing to stake that in head-to-head competition that Kai Greene wrestled the title away from Phil on the stage and walk off with his head held high in victory? Because I was there in Spain. It didn't happen. That was the best opportunity to catch a champion. You felt that way. Kai felt like he won. The audience, he won him over. It didn't happen. All these Hall of Famers in the bodybuilding, Rich Gaspari, Labrada, myself, Muhammad McAway, Kevin Lavroni, it didn't happen. So now what? Kai Greene's turn. How are you willing? This is Vegas. Are you willing to put some money on this victory?
I am willing to put money, because I'm going to tell you why. Because the judging criteria since Mr. Mannion took over really changed. And, you know, as far as I'm concerning, you know, if Kai deserves to win, I don't see why they're not going to give it to him. You know, they used to say you got to knock the champion, blah, blah, blah. Maybe it's true. You know what? Like a couple of years ago, I brought Kai, a little slimmer, a little this, and everybody's, oh, that's how you should have brought him. I'm like, you know what? He still took second. So we're trying to do something different. We're bringing him freaky. We're bringing him hard. You know, unfortunately, it didn't work for us on Friday. Worked on Saturday. Like you said, you know, he regained his position at second. But I believe, I truly believe, these judges have no problem putting Kai Greene or Kai Red. They don't really care about who's up there. All that they want is to see the best. It's not like the way it used to be run by that D'Amelio or whatever. It's different. It's totally ball game. Totally different ball game right now. I talked to Mr. Manning. He said whoever deserves it is going to win, and that's the bottom line, George. So they're all real. I mean, they don't have no hard feeling for nobody as long as Kai come in blazing, and I think that's what's going to happen this year. I have no doubt that he's going to win.
All right, George Farah has spoken. Thanks for calling in, George. We're going to take our first commercial break here at Indy Radio. We'll catch up with Mr. George Farah as we count down to the Joe Wheeler 50th anniversary of the Mr. Olympia weekend. I'll come back. We'll keep on talking about what's on tap for the NPC and the IFBB right here at MD Radio.
This is Lonnie Tieber from Iron Man Magazine, the greatest of all time. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Focus, strength, recovery, results. Introducing Maximize, brought to you by iForce Nutrition.
tired of the same old caffeine buzz? Are you ready to step into a new world of power, energy, and intensity? Maximize has set a new standard in the supplement world, delivering tunnel vision focus, cell swelling volumization, and unstoppable endurance. Don't settle for the current crop of underclothes products. It's time to join the next generation with Maximize, the only pre-workout supplement you need for extreme gains in strength and performance. Don't just train. Maximize your workouts. Visit www.iforcenutrition.com for details.
Over the years, iForce Nutrition has brought you some of the most powerful muscle-building products ever seen in the bodybuilding world. Now, after years of research and development, we are proud to introduce our first launch into the world of thermogenic fat loss with Adipoxil. Adipoxil isn't your run-of-the-mill fat burner. Adipoxil is new and rewriting the definition of fat loss. Adipoxil's competition strength formula is so powerful, in one cycle, you can go from soft to shredded. When being lean isn't enough, get shredded with Adipoxil. For more information, visit iForceNutrition.com.
With over 300 locations and 2 million members worldwide, Powerhouse Gym has been helping people achieve their goals since 1975. Whether you're visiting the gym for the first time or you're a seasoned professional, you'll see why Powerhouse Gym is the strongest name in fitness. Visit PowerhouseGym.com to get a free guest pass to a location closest to you or to inquire about opening your own Powerhouse Gym location. At Powerhouse Gym, you're not just a number, you're family.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you've ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like some banned substances, but rest assured, there's nothing illegal in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB living legend Flex Wheeler. And now you too can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
This is Marcus Haley of The Common, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sugar Sean Ray.
Arginine and AAKG are dead.
War is over. MHP introduces NO-Bomb, the world's first clinically tested nitric oxide maximizing formula. Need to experience real workouts and pumps with NO-Bomb.
But one of the guys that gives a lot of credit is Steve Blackman from Muscular Development. I mean, those guys have done an extraordinary job for years and years and years to promote health, to promote fitness, to promote strength, to promote bodybuilding, powerlifting, weightlifting, and all of those kind of things. So the contributions they made is gigantic, and I hail them for that.
Anyone who understands the supplement market knows that fat burners as a class of products are virtually dead. Why? Because none of these products have delivered the kind of real results people have been looking for. I'm not kidding when I tell you, that's all over now. Because mitotropin is so powerful and so profoundly different than anything else on the market, we couldn't even call it a fat burner for fear would be associated with this useless category. That's how good it is. Welcome to the world of mitotropin.
This is IFBB Pro Mike Valentino. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Oh my God! Business is usual, man.
For the best workout of your life, use Nox Pump, the strongest pre-workout powder in bodybuilding. Get Nox Pump at health food stores everywhere.
Shop the new MD
MD Supplement Superstore, where you can find more of your favorite brands and products, upgraded customer service, and engaging cutting-edge research, along with the industry's most competitive prices.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
I'm the truth and these other boys phony.
All right, you just heard from Bulletproof George Farah calling in, representing his boy, the Predator, Kai Greene, who, by many accounts, a lot of people feel, actually beat Phil Heath a year ago in Spain at the Europe Arnold Classic Championships, where the audience was a little bit smaller, the national spotlight wasn't as big or bright, but that Phil Heath simply had lost a little bit of his thunder from 2 weeks prior right there in Las Vegas and didn't bring it and should have rightfully been handed a defeat a la Ronnie Coleman and Gunther Schlierkamp back in New Orleans. I was there when Ronnie Coleman came in with his Mr. Olympia victory, trying to pick up another cool $100,000 or $50,000 that GNC was offering up. And Gunther Schlierkamp was there to bust his bubble. Now, Gunther was a guy that had never even been in the top five of the Mr. Olympia. I mean, you want to talk about Buster Douglas bodybuilding. Gunther took Ronnie Coleman to the cleaners, and Ronnie Coleman didn't take that very lightly. Of course, he went on to win the Arnold Classic and a couple other shows, you know, Ronnie did, and it crushed a lot of dreams. But Gunther has that one victory that made his career by beating the reigning and defending Mr. Olympia champion. It was not to be for Kai Greene a year ago. George Farah thought it should have been. But that contest that people still talk about today, just not as much because not as many people were there. But again, the Olympia weekend is really what bodybuilding is all about, and I'm still very dumbfounded that these young guys, Justin Compton, Evan Sinopani, these guys that have opportunities to go and compete and participate and, you know, battle, are choosing to sit on the sidelines and, you know, represent their companies at the booths and spectate when they could actually be participate. I'd never missed an opportunity to battle with Mr. Olympia. If I was given that chance, I took it. That's what bodybuilders do. So Evan and Justin will probably be looking for me at the expo because I'm talking shit. But I deserve to talk shit on guys that aren't going to compete in the Mr. Olympia when they should. Snap out of it, boys. But when the guys that can't compete in the Mr. Olympia want to compete in some form or fashion at the Mr. Olympia, well, that's when Powerhouse Gym comes to the rescue to save the day, offering up an alternative to the guy that can't get on that stage and, you know, pose and flex. So let's bring on a rep from Powerhouse Gym International to talk about the latest addition to the Mr. Olympia weekend that's going to give someone an opportunity to walk away with a nice little bit of booty doing obstacle course type challenges, which is huge. All you got to do is turn on American Warrior on TV. I mean, these guys and girls that are participating in these cross training type events, very short spurts of a lot of athletic agility, not a whole lot of money, but here's Powerhouse Gym throwing $10,000 at them. Let's bring on our representative from Powerhouse. Open the phone lines. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is Joe Odom, Powerhouse. How's it going?
Good. Not too bad, man. And there's so many Joes that are in the Powerhouse family. I'm just going to assume you're the good-looking Joe.
Say that again. I'm sorry. You broke up on that one.
I said there's so many Joes working for Powerhouse Gyms. I'm just assuming that you're the good-looking Joe that works over there, Powerhouse.
That's an accurate assumption, sir. That's an accurate assumption. I'm also the only one with just a Joe at my email address, so I guess I got to be the one. I don't know.
Joe at Powerhouse. All right, so now that we got that figured out, tell us a little bit about this Powerhouse FX Challenge, because this is the first time it's ever taken place. I know that I spoke with Will almost a year ago. This is one of his brainchild. He's been trying to get this thing off the ground, and suddenly we have a home for it right there at the Joe Weider Mr. Olympia. What can we expect come September?
I'll tell you what, we're really excited about this program. And Will has done a number of things, as everybody that's listening knows, for this community, whether it be for the Olympia or the Mr. Galaxy competitions. He's been involved in this industry for so long and been a huge influence, especially on me as well. So I'm very excited about this opportunity. What can we expect? Well, we can expect something that's going to be really high intensity. We can expect something that's going to be, that's going to test everybody. And we can expect something that's going to be available from, you know, to ranging from anybody to your soccer moms to your athletes to your bodybuilders, whatever the case may be. So, we're going to have a series of events, 9 events, and we're going to be giving away a nice chunk of change, $10,000 to be exact. So very excited.
So this is a situation where for $50, I could win $10,000.
As long as you feel good about bringing your A game.
Yeah. So, are we battling the clock here? Is this the fastest time to complete all 9 events?
Well, it's going to be a combination. It's going to be a combination of events. So we're going to take some. We're going to take the scores from each event. For example, we've got. We've got a rope pull. We've got a 40-yard dash. We've got. We've got 3 different heights of box jumps. So we're going to take the cumulative scores of those. And we're going to go ahead and crown a champion. We're going to hand them a big check when it's all said and done. So, but the nice thing is that everybody that's doing this, they're being tested top to bottom. So nobody's really got an advantage. It's going to be about overall athleticism. It's going to be who can put a complete package together start to finish.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're competing against yourself just as much as you're competing against anybody else. For $50, you're afforded this obstacle course type challenge. Where I see the one, number 7, it's called the Suicide Sprint Up and Back. It looks like you'll run 10 yards up and back, then run 20 yards up and back, run 30 yards up and back, and I'm assuming there's going to be a bucket somewhere around because someone's going to lose their lunch.
No, man, no buckets allowed. As a matter of fact, we're going to have everybody that signs up, their signature is going to go off saying that they can't compete if they feel like there's a chance that they're going to throw up. No, that's not going to happen. Of course, man, we'll absolutely have precautionary measures set in place, but I'm telling you what, the main objective is to see if we can push people past the limits that they've set for themselves and hopefully inspire them to continue on with that goal.
Well, I know the powerhouse is always one step above and ahead of the competition, and of course I go way back to the days of Will, his brother Norm, his late brother Norm and Crystal, when they brought in basically Samir Banu, the 83 Mr. Olympia. From Lebanon,
sure.
He tore it up out there at the Highland Park Gym. 8-time Ms. Olympia, Linda Murray, right out of Farmington Hills up there, doing the big things for Powerhouse. And now we've got Powerhouse X Functional Training Challenge, where they're giving away $10,000. And the website that people can go to, is that going to be the PowerhouseFXChallenge.com website?
You got it, yep. Anybody can go check it out. Get a feel for it. Again, this is a competition that's open to everybody. So we've got it's 2 months now before we get there, so we got 8 weeks of solid training. They want to take a look for themselves. They can get themselves primed and ready, and we'll be there waiting for them.
So I'm wondering, is it going to be taking place both Friday and Saturday?
That's correct. We've got Friday. We've got let's see here. It's going to be taking place both Friday and Saturday, and it's going to be at 10 o'clock a.m. So we'll make sure everybody carb loads the night before, get ready. So we're going to have it available for both days so that nobody misses an opportunity.
All right, brother. Well, we're going to look forward to some big things and get some updates as we get a little bit closer to the 50th anniversary of the Joe Weider Mr. Olympia weekend. We'll get things kicked off with the Powerhouse FX Challenge right there at the convention in Las Vegas. Joe, I'm sure I'll run into you there, so make sure you come by and say what's happening, all right? I might have to challenge you.
Looking forward to it. Not looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing you.
Are you up to it? All right, man. Thanks for calling in. Big Joe for Powerhouse. All right, so in more news, thanks for calling, Joe.
You bet.
In more bodybuilding news, we have got, I'm hoping we have got a reunion of sorts that will take place of historic proportions. I ran into Ed Corney the other weekend up there in San Jose. It would be so nice to see guys like now I just started losing names. Dave Draper, man, I'd love to see Dave Draper pop up there. I would love to see Chris Dickerson come out from Florida. Albert Beckles, I mean, think about it. Albert Beckles has got to be in his 80s. I imagine Chris Dickerson is probably not too far behind. Ed Corney is still at all the shows. He's a fixture a lot of times at the Europa booths, signing autographs of the glory days. Of course, Big Mike Katz is still kicking around supporting the sport. You know, in all those 50 years of the Mr. Olympia, we've only lost 2 Mr. Olympias. The very first winner, in the form of Larry Scott, back in 1965 or 66, passed away this past year. And, of course, 3-time Mr. Olympia, the successor to Larry Scott by way of Cuba, Sergio Oliva has passed away, I believe it was 2 years ago now. So they've joined Joe and Ben Weider in the Olympia heavens above. And that's amazing when you think about that. When I say it, I'm dumbfounded. In 50 years, there's been four major components that we've lost out of all the thousands of people that have been part of the Olympia weekend, whether it's in the infrastructure, the photography end, the behind the scenes, everyone seems to be still kicking. And, you know, life is hard enough when you're just trying to make ends meet. But when you put your body to the test and do the things that these bodybuilders do, and you look at the longevity of Joe and Ben, who both lived very good lives. I believe Ben was 85 and Joe was like 92 or 93. Larry Scott, I mean, right up to the day of his passing, was just a man's man, the gentleman. They called him the gentleman of bodybuilding, Larry Scott. And, of course, Sergio Oliva, the great Sergio Oliva, former Chicago cop. I mean, it doesn't get any harder than that. This is the guy who, you know, came over from Cuba, think about it, under Fidel Castro, to compete in the 60s, right in the throes of the civil rights movement and all the stuff that was going on right there in the 60s, and Malcolm X getting murdered and, you know, JFK getting shot down. And here you got Sergio Oliva defecting from Cuba to come over to compete against Larry Scott and basically put him into retirement. Larry Scott said it in The Evolution of Bodybuilding that I stepped away from bodybuilding because I saw Sergio Oliva coming. And, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, had the opportunity to see Larry, Sergio Oliva coming as well, and Arnold just kind of was just too tall and just kind of was just too put together for someone of Sergio's ilk. But to a man, every Mr. Olympia guy that I talked to said that Sergio Oliva was the guy. I mean, he was. They should have made the Sandow Trophy in the image of Sergio Oliva. The history involved, man. In 70, here comes Arnold Schwarzenegger to rattle off six straight wins from 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75. One of those years, I think he didn't have anybody to compete against. That's how dominant Arnold Schwarzenegger from Austria, 19 years old, comes over and makes a way and makes a name for himself. And takes 5 years away from the stage. His training partner from Sardinia, Italy, comes over, Franco Colombo, all 5'5" of him, strongest bodybuilder in the world, pound for pound, walks off with the 76th Mr. Olympia. And then here comes Zane, 178, 179 pounds, dripping wet, barely 5'9", but looked like a Michelangelo work of art. I mean, so put together and so detailed that even the biggest bodybuilders couldn't take out Frank Zane. At 179 pounds, you can't even find a bodybuilder on the pro stage that weighs 179 pounds. That's how far we've evolved away from that. But even still, none of them come from the ilk that Frank Zane brought with him. That genetic gift that he brought to the Olympia stage allowed him to win in 77, 78, and 79. Three successive years, Frank Zane, who didn't even break 200 pounds, we walk off with the very first ever Eugene Sandow trophies, by the way. Those Sandow trophies weren't being handed out back in Arnold Schwarzenegger's day. Sergio Oliva never got one of those. Larry Scott got a crown. Frank Zane got the first Eugene Sandow trophy and had the first three. And then after him, Arnold Schwarzenegger came back during his preparation to film Conan the Barbarian. And in 1980, would be victorious in what many continue to this day make out to be the most controversial Mr. Olympia victory. The problem with that is very few people know who got second. If you know the history of that show, the controversy was the argument between Arnold and Mike Mincer. Mike Mincer placed fifth place in that show. No one had Mike Mincer higher than fifth place but Mike Mincer. So the controversy was a subpar Arnold Schwarzenegger coming out of retirement with legs that were considerably down, and condition that left a lot to the imagination, but still wound up victorious. The problem was is he beat a 5'6", 180-pound Chris Dickerson. I mean, Arnold's 6'1". Arnold's like 220 pounds back in those days. He made Chris Dickerson look like a little boy on that stage. Chris was put together but Chris was not 100% ready to battle with the dimensions that Arnold created. I mean, when Arnold did the three-quarter twisting back shot, everyone on the stage disappeared. Frank Zane was there. I believe Samir was there. I know Chris Dickerson was there. A lot of people were there. Warrior Coe. A lot of people were crying foul and had, you know, poor sportsmanship to them. But I looked at that show and realized that even Arnold at 90% was still Mr. Olympia. And then in 1981 would come even the more controversial Mr. Olympia, and that was Arnold's training partner, Franco Colombo, coming off of a blown-out knee, would hold Tom Platz at bay and win the Mr. Olympia in 1981, the second time. Arnold would never be seen in the Mr. Olympia show again, and this was the beginning of the little man. And I say little because Franco Colombo was very little. Franco Colombo was 5'5", maybe 5'6". And following him in second place was going to be, you know, Tom Platz, who was 5'6", legitimately. A little disproportioned, but Tom Platz had Franco's number that day and probably could have been Mr. Olympia, and that was as close as it would get for Tom Platz. In 1982, here comes Chris Dickerson, 42, 43 years old, 5'5", maybe 5'6", right on the heels of Franco Colombo, and would win the Mr. Olympia. And, of course, in 1983, again, Samir Banu, 5'7", 5'6", under 200 pounds, maybe 200 even, 3 years in a row. We had these smaller guys. And second place, a lot of people forget this, but second place was Muhammad McAway. Muhammad McAway was tiny. Muhammad McAway might have been 5'4". And in 1984, Lee Haney would win his first of eight consecutive Mr. Olympias, standing 5'10", roughly 235 pounds. And guess who was second place? The Egyptian, the magical Egyptian at 5'4", maybe 180. But things would change, and they would change forever, because it would be 8 long years before Mr. Olympia would have to change hands. And by 1991, Dorian Yates came over from England and moved up from into second place and would hold on to the title from 1992 to 1997 at 5'10", 260 plus pounds. And then by 1998, history would change forever with Ronnie Coleman going on to win 8 consecutive Mr. Olympias, standing 5'10", and at his heaviest, he was a whopping 287 pounds on the Mr. Olympia stage. The biggest Mr. Olympia ever to win that title was Ronnie Coleman. Ronnie Coleman ultimately would be upset by 5-time first-place runner-up Jay Cutler. 5 times in a row, Jay Cutler would get second place to Ronnie Coleman. And Jay was no small guy. Jay was 5'9", 280 pounds. 270, 280 pounds at 5'9". And he would get 5 first-place runner-ups, ultimately taking Ronnie Coleman to the cleaners by 2005, winning his first of 4 Mr. Olympias, 3 consecutively. And I mentioned earlier that he would lose in 2008 to Dexter Jackson, 5'6", 215, maybe 220 pounds, and then come back to win again in 2009. And that would be the last that we saw Jay Cutler as Mr. Olympia, even though he made a return only a few short years ago to a sixth-place controversial finish where I had Jay probably about eighth or ninth. He wound up in sixth. And then here comes the gift. Gift would ultimately get a first runner-up to Jay before surpassing him and becoming a consecutive 3-time Mr. Olympia. And now the bridesmaid is Kai Greene. Kai Greene right now is wearing the crown that was left by 3-time Mr. Olympia runner-up Rich Gaspari, 4-time Mr. Olympia runner-up Kevin Lavrone, and all those guys that finished second, including myself. Will Kai Greene take the title from Phil Keith? That is a 2014 Mr. Olympia question. We're going to find that out in a couple of short months right there in Las Vegas. Don't want to miss that show. We'll have all the contest coverage right here at MuscularDevelopment.com. A-Team will be there on the ground. But right now we're headed to Las Vegas, Artemis Hall, right there on the campus of the University of Las Vegas for the USA NPC Championship. Stay tuned for our play-by-play action beginning on Thursday and we'll take it all the way through till we have 70 more champions and pro cards. For all our guests here at Muscular Development Radio, we'll be back with results coming 1 week from today, right here at MD Radio. I'm your host, Sean Ray.
Peace.
I am out.
You've been listening to MD Radio, a look at the world of bodybuilding and health and fitness. Join Sean Ray again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.